true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, beside you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
We're really good at beatboxing. We should take it on the road.
We are freestyle love supreme.
Let's just choose all the cringeworthy things that we could possibly find. Us.
Pink, cha-cha, pink, cha-cha. I want to try to sneak in like pornographic words to mine.
Well, I think I told you about my friend who was a stand-up comedian who used to do he had a whole, this is way back when just it was drum machines. We didn't really hear about beatboxing in the mainstream culture, but he was a drummer and it was in the 80s. And he was like, why do drum machines always sound like they're cussing at you? And then he had this very well-developed douche, douche cock, douche, douche cock, douche, douche cock, douche, douche cock, clitty, clitty, clit, 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 clitty, 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 douche, douche cock, balls, balls.
That's great. Wow.
That happened.
We're going to have yogurt eating sounds today. Daddy,
I need to record this. Are you all rolling and stuff? Are you waiting till after your yogurt is done?
Oh, no. I want Desmond to get the full experience of my food.
Balls.
Well, I'm in the southern west of this great country of ours.
Wait, what?
I'm in the southwest.
When did that happen?
I'm at my dad's house.
Okay.
What? Yeah. I drove out here yesterday and the day before.
Okay. Nice. Eating all the yogurt that is possible to eat. How many yogurts do you have there, Katie? Is it just one?
It's a single tiny yogurt. Oh,
okay. It looked like you put one down and picked another one up. And since you do that with drinks, I was thinking maybe you do that with yogurt too. I was hoping. Mm.
That's fair. You know what it is? It's in the Southwest. I need 8 gazillion gallons of water a day and 500 grams of protein.
Okay.
Or I get just like, boom, robot power down.
Okay. That brings something up.
Mm.
We recently have been having these solar storms, right? This thing, that's why we can see the aurora borealis type of thing in other parts of the world. Blah, blah, blah. But I guess the solar storms, solar flares are continuing and they're significant. And I was visiting my parents up in Shasta the other day, and we went for a nice, not a long hike, just a hike. And I was wearing long sleeves just to, you know, protect my arms from the sun. You know, you're at altitude and closer to the sun and all that stuff. And it wasn't so much that I was hot, but every time I was in the sun, I felt exposed, like intense. Like I would be going from shade to shade. And if I was in the sun, I'd be like, it's so, not so hot. It's just so much.
Yep.
It felt intense. So like, were the solar flares intensifying the UV? I don't, what the hell was, and someone else said the same thing. They were like, yeah, not hot, intense. A different person.
Have you had that at Shasta before?
Not that I noticed like that. It was very specifically not the air, but the sun. Like,
I understand.
Shade was, yeah. I think that was the difference.
I have that every time I'm in the Southwest because you're a mile or two or 10 or five up.
Yeah. And it's just bare.
I think it's the combo.
But it's not, yeah. I guess in the past, like I lived in the Southwest and I remember that, but it also felt like, oh, it's hot and that sun is intense and I'm hot. And it was the first time I'd really felt this like, wait, it's not so much that I'm hot. It's that I can't handle the light.
That's why I think it's the combo of the altitude and the flares.
Yeah. It was crazy. I don't know if you'd notice anything specific now that you're in the Southwest, also in a similar situation. Is it worse than usual or is it more crazy for you right now?
Well, yeah. I mean, the solar flares for me, whenever they happen, I can be inside with all the shades drawn, which I usually am anyway, and I feel them. They're so intense for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all my friends that are like me. I have a few across the country where I'll like text someone and be like,
Katie, nobody's like you.
Thank you.
Nobody.
Thank you.
And that is a compliment.
He's winking.
What a dick.
Son of a bitch. All my people that are like me, just the woo-woo light worker people that I know across the land, everybody's just like, hi, what's happening? And then it's like, solar flares. Oh, like we help each other and it's a common topic. And yes, they're super palpable to me. They also, I should say for the listener, just getting a nice little download here. They give different, you know, different people will have different reactions or like experience them differently. So ringing in the ears, vision, your vision getting affected, extra tired, needing to go inside and close the doors, like extra sensitive to light, moody, extra energized, but feeling like so much energy, but like you also can't leave the house, which can be confusing, nausea, weird dreams, like all kinds of shit can happen. So just sharing that for people who may be experiencing it in different ways from how it's talked about in the general public.
Huh. That begs the question, because I have had a like a low level, like just discomfort in the middle of my body, I'll call it. Like, it's not exactly nausea. It's a little bit heartburn. It's a little bit nausea. It's just like, ugh, just sort of dumpy in the middle of my body. Is that, are you getting that's that, or is that just that I have heartburn?
No, I think it's something that's ready to be processed. In fact, what I get about it is some of the work we did with you and me and Lisa has completed integrating. When we did that session, there's some integration that's occurred, and now you're at the next layer of that process. You want to feel into it for a second?
Oh, shit. Just jump right in. Why the hell not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead.
It's light right now, but it's still present. Yeah.
Yeah, just ease your way right into the worst of it, even if it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is definitely related to the topic from that session.
Yeah.
Are you comfortable with me saying information I get?
Yeah, you can say, go ahead. It's fine.
So there's a theme we were working with in those sessions. It has to do with being with people, women, romantically, who then just all of a sudden have to go.
Yeah.
And like, what is creating that? What is the pattern there? Is there a pattern there, et cetera?
Yeah.
You then insightfully commented on, how shall I say? You said, there's got to be something in me, you know, you've learned this concept.
Yeah, I've seen the pattern.
What is it that, how am I continuing on some unconscious level to recreate this?
Yeah.
And there is this little tiny nausea thing, as you stay with it, is connected. You're doing great. I'm like really present to it. Just sink down into it just a little deeper. And I'll give you a hint, like down into the low belly, pelvic floor, kind of right above the genitals. And what's happening in there now?
For a moment, I felt sort of a loosening in that area. But the main sort of channel is more like a tube down the middle of my chest, like my esophagus down to that. It feels like that channel is sort of like burning a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Let's
like it's inflamed.
Great. Let's connect in with that burning, inflamed sensation with no need to figure it out, understand it, or change it. We're just going to really let it burn and be inflamed. And I'm going to do the facilitating, the bringing of the love to it. So we'll see what it does then. And what's happening in there now?
I'm just aware of it. Nothing seems to have changed really necessarily.
What is it that you're aware of? What does it feel like now?
It feels like rough. Not so much hot burning. It's just sort of like irritated and like I want to clear my whole throat, but from like down at the very bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I want to clear my throat from my rectum on up.
Okay, good. Now, I want you to imagine that at the base of this, like down at the rectum, where it sort of starts, okay, that energy, that place has a mouth and a voice and it can communicate to you. Adult Cassidy, what does it want you to hear it say? In other words, I want you to become it and speak for it rather than thinking about what you interpret it as being.
Yeah.
I want you to literally let it talk to you.
I don't know if it's my head or not. That's my problem right now. Yeah. You keep just sort of hearing like, get clean.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm putting that on it or not. That's just what.
Cool. Keep listening to it. Let it keep talking. It says, get clean. What else does it say? Just pretend you're listening to it. And that's plenty. The way you're going to know is just by connecting with it as a felt sense, as a feeling. Just let that thing talk to you.
Sort of just like show up, get present, get back in your life.
Hmm.
Like occupy your body again or something. That's my interpretation of what I'm hearing, I feel like. But it's something about just being more.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Now, I want you, Adult Cassidy, with your big brain, to ask it how you do that.
How do I do that?
What do you need from... Well, hang on. You're going to say to it, what do you, energy in my butthole, need from me in order for me to do that? What do you suggest I do? You can just ask that internally.
What I'm hearing is read from the Shawshank Redemption saying,
get busy living or get busy dying.
It's pretty good.
And I feel like my butthole would have that voice anyway.
Do you know what that means for you?
Yeah, it means.
Do you know what that means?
I do. I feel like just, I've been for the last few weeks doing a lot more sort of hiding, like just holding up in my room or not, you know, getting out, not exercising as much, not doing, but when I have been doing those things, I love it and I feel good. But then I spend a lot of time just sort of not doing something, but not like meditating or, you know, just kind of fucking away the day,
mm-hmm.
but not fucking while I'm doing that. Because that would be great. Mm-hmm. It'd be a great way to pass the time. Yeah. So feeling like I'm not really occupying my body. And I feel like I had for a little while really started to occupy my body and occupy my space around me. And then just for the last couple of weeks, slipped back into sort of a whatever space.
Mm.
And that coincides pretty well with, like, I started rehearsals and that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But even there, I'm like, I feel like I'm not giving myself my full presence. I'm a little distracted and kind of tuned out.
Why do you think you're doing that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Ask the butthole.
You ask the butthole. No, I'm asking the butthole. Why are you doing that?
Ask it and listen to it. Don't come up with answers. Does that make sense to you?
It does, but I don't.
Feel the sensation of that tube from the bottom of you all the way up to the top. Just reconnect with that thing. Let me know when you're connected to that. You're pretty in your head right now. Do you know that?
Yeah, I know. And that's where words come from in my head.
Yeah, but you are capable of feeling a sensation and putting words to it without popping up into your head.
I don't know. I can sort of feel in there, but I don't know what's happening anymore. I've kind of slipped.
So if you say to it from your higher self, like from your adult Cassidy brain,
yeah,
to that sensation, why am I half checked out of my life? What does it do? What does that sensation do or say or be? Another thing you could ask it is, why don't I want to know this? And I'll tell you something that I get is that what you don't want to know is what keeps this pattern alive.
Yeah. I mean, a bunch of things come into my head, but then that's my head. So that's my problem right now is feeling like...
Well, no, not necessarily. What are they? Not necessarily. What are they?
Lazy, hiding.
Check.
Those are the words, some words that have popped.
Lazy is a judgment of the hiding.
Exactly.
Hiding is what you're doing.
Yeah.
But the question is, what are you hiding and what are you hiding from? What do you not want to know? We know you're hiding. So I think what I'm getting for you here is you can keep asking that question. This is reminding me of the time when you were dating a person. This was years and years and years ago. and it was really toxic for you. And there was all this demon stuff going on. And I don't remember what I said in a session we had or somewhere. I said something. Maybe it was showing you how to talk to demons or clear them, or I don't remember. And then like you sort of had that running through your head for a while. And then one day there was just this moment where it dropped in and it all stopped.
Yeah.
I have a feeling there's something like that here. The question to be living into is, what do you hide from yourself? What do you not want to know inside yourself that if you knew it would change what is required of you in your life and therefore would destroy and eliminate this pattern? So that's a question to have living in your reality.
Yeah.
And let's see what you come to over time without trying.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm going right now. I'm having the thing where I feel like pressure from myself and from just the context to like have an answer. And so like, and I know you're not requiring that of me, but that's what's going on. So that has got me a little less connected.
Yep. It's hard for you to stay connected when you feel a pressure to hear answers.
Yeah. And to, in a sense, perform answers because we're recording a podcast and stuff like that, you know.
So that's hard for you to let go of, the performing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see. Even though you'd be letting go of performing for your own well-being, that's still pretty hard, huh?
I understand that it would be great.
Concept.
I understand. Yeah. And I agree with it. And I'm just.
Yeah. It's hard.
Knowing that's what's looping right now and, you know, not necessarily wanting to. But I definitely like the sort of ongoing mission of, you know, like letting that now run, you know, in meditation or on my own or whatever for the next chunk of time.
And what was the end of that sentence? Not necessarily wanting to, and then you stop talking, take up time on the podcast?
Yeah.
Or do it publicly?
Or keep doing it right now.
Okay, what is that about? Let's just inquire about that and then we'll stop. Why not right now? From whatever this part of you that says no, what does it say about why not right now? What's the reasons?
Yeah, because we're recording the podcast and I don't feel like...
Your process is valuable to other people?
No, I don't think that's it.
Okay, what is it?
Maybe I'm feeling more vulnerable about sharing it on the podcast.
Okay.
And a little self-conscious about, yeah, there is a combination of feeling like just sitting here in silence, trying to feel into my shit. I'm aware of sitting here in silence, trying to feel into my shit. And I don't, yeah.
So you feel vulnerable about doing this in public?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
And I am, and self-conscious about, and there is still the performance part of it. It's like I'm kind of, I don't know. I'm feeling put on the spot to do a thing that I don't necessarily want to do right now.
You feel pressured to do this and you don't want to.
Yeah.
And the reason, I get that, that's very clear. What I don't get is why, and I think I'm hearing you say because it feels private and you don't want to do it in public. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay, great. Is there some other piece to why you don't want to do it right now? It's okay if there's not, I'm just curious.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably definitely still... I think it's shitty content at this point.
I totally disagree, but okay.
I know you do.
I mean, people processing.
But that's the self-consciousness that's going on right now.
Right. That's all. The reason I'm trying to probe to get you to say that is because that's always your thing and that's not a true thing. And I need to say that it's not a true thing for the people listening who would benefit from knowing that for them, that's not a true thing.
Right.
Like, in other words, I am weird because I am highly practiced at doing way too vulnerable shit in public because of 15 years in 12-step rooms.
Right.
So 12-step people get really comfortable being like, here's the depths of my soul to a room of literal strangers every day.
Yeah.
Because we have to survive. There's a thing about you're only as sick as your secrets. And for addicts, it's like our secrets will kill us today.
Right.
your secrets are slowly killing you over time in a subtle way that you wouldn't say is killing you.
Right.
But I would say is deadening your life, which is the same as killing you.
Yeah.
It's making your life not fully alive or happening, right? So I understand and respect the idea your judgy mind has, because this is the judgment part of your brain that says this isn't good content. Like there's, because it's the opposite of not, it's great content if you can stay with it. Because the change, the awakening that will come for you, the click you'll have when this clicks for you will help every human that hears this. And the time in the middle to get there is also not wasted content, because the coaching words I would say to hopefully help you get there would also be helping the listener get there in their own way, any listener that needs that. So you're doing a service for people by being in the process. That is not me trying to talk you into going back into doing that, because you clearly don't want to.
Uh-huh.
It's me just narrating for the part of your brain why that's actually not, that's like false. And there's an acronym I like that you might maybe relate to: false evidence appearing real.
F-E-A-R, fear. I see what you did there. You didn't.
It is, though. It's
right.
It's false evidence appearing real. Feels pretty fucking real that this is bad content, A, and that this you don't want to think you do this in public. And again, I don't want to make you do it in public. We're done. We're not doing it. But I'm just saying that's what false evidence appearing real feels like. And I need to say it for the listener. This thing we do here in my mind is always, it's for them. Like I'm hoping we're giving people tools and we're waking them up and we're teaching them about processing and we're answering questions in the Akashic Records, like to benefit humanity. That's my whole MO as an Aquarius. That's what we're about. So when this is happening, I get so excited because I'm like, ooh, look what we're giving you and them.
Yeah.
By proxy. So I think it was a big gift you were doing just there for the people. And when and if you...
Well, what just came up...
When and if you ever want to do it again, not today, I'm available for it. And I think the people will probably message you after this and say, I'm available for it too.
Just while you were talking and I was listening and sort of taking in what you were saying, what came up for me and just because I did drop back in a little bit was... Actually, more that I'm embarrassed at my brain's, like, I feel embarrassed that I don't, that I feel like I'm not, it's not even the content, it's just that I can't, that, you know, you say, oh, what does your butthole want to say? And then that I'm like, well, my brain wants to tell you what my butthole said, but that's not what we want to do here. So you're not good at this. You suck at this. Your brain is way too active.
Yeah.
And I get really judgmental of the brain thing.
Yeah.
And not knowing the difference between what my butthole is saying and what my brain is turning it into or translating it as or forming the words for or trying to say the words and not knowing the difference and feeling, and that's, now that I'm saying it, that's what's
so publicly
on.
Being bad at it.
Yeah, that's and being embarrassed at my inability to do it.
I get you. That makes sense.
And that's really what I think was more than anything going on.
Yeah, that makes sense. That comes up regularly for you also, I've noticed.
Yeah, and sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I can.
Totally.
And I was just, I reached a point while I was sitting there, like feeling into it. And you were asking me questions. I was like, I don't fucking know. I'm fucking just doing this fucking thing. And that's, and I just, rather than lashing out, I wanted to move on.
Yeah, I get it. So lash out and move on. Those are two different defenses you have against feeling things.
Yeah, sure.
Those are normal defenses against feeling things.
Yep.
Cool. So now we know a little bit more about the defenses when they come up that keep you from wanting to know what, if you knew it, would change this whole pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can stop it. Why don't you stop it? You've got your eyes closed. And I'm like, you can stop. We're done now.
I know. But now I'm like trying to check in because it was interesting.
It is, isn't it?
I just made a new piece of the discovery came out while you were talking. So I needed to process
through
that. Oh,
what is it? I'm ready.
Well, that's
I'm
what I mean. Available. That just the... I became more aware of what it was I was really fighting
yeah.
for. was my own embarrassment.
Yeah.
Not at having feelings or having a problem. That fucking great. My trauma, not embarrassing.
I understand.
Yeah. My inability to
feel,
to do the thing or to express. It's not so much feel as to express the feeling, is to put the feeling into language.
Okay.
Because I think that's my brain doing its job instead of my body.
Right. Totes. I want to say for you, to validate you, that's pretty damn common and normal.
Yeah.
And I bet you the viewers or the listeners are like, yeah, me too. I have a hard time with that.
Yeah.
So in other words, even by admitting that, you're helping these people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just so you know. So good job.
No, I'm at peace with the content part now that we've talked through it for now or today at this moment.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Awesome. One thing I want to say for the listener, and if this...
Just, I'm closing my eyes because I'm just feeling into the body. Yeah. Say words.
Okay. Feel free to do that. You can totally keep doing that if you want to. For all of us to remember is that, and I find it pretty interesting. I've worked with this in myself a lot. When you see that embarrassment of having a hard time doing the thing that would liberate you is a block. This is, I'm now talking to the listener, okay?
Yeah.
And if it's valuable to you, great. Here, I'm going to talk with the I pronoun to make this personal about me. And if anybody relates, fantastic. And if you don't, that's okay too. So in my journey, when I've had moments where I'm embarrassed that it's hard for me to process a thing, it has been helpful to me to understand that embarrassment is linked with shame. And shame is a function of the ego. And so if I can choose, but shame is also judgment's best friend. So in my mind, I know, and my higher self, I know that judgment, shame, ego, embarrassment are not like capital R real, meaning they're not the truth, capital T truth. They're an energy that wants to distract me from truth. And I have this weird, relentless commitment to finding out the truth underneath each thing. And I'm not perfect at it, but I'm very committed to it, very dedicated to finding it, speaking it, having it, knowing it, et cetera. It's kind of my whole thing. So for me, when I notice, embarrassment is stopping me from whatever, I just go, I'm not going to be stopped by that, because embarrassment, shame, ego, judgment, those are not me. Who is actual me? Me is the witnessing energy watching the embarrassment arise.
Yeah.
So if I can connect in with the watching I that is watching embarrassment arise, then that watching I can then connect in with whatever the thing is that's being asked of me to do. Now, that's a process that works for me. That doesn't necessarily mean it'll work for everybody. But I wanted to share that as an option for people listening, is that if mentally we can understand that embarrassment is necessarily a function of the ego, then we understand that it's necessarily an energy that's keeping us from the capital T truth. It, in other words, embarrassment itself is never the truth.
Right.
Capital T truth. It's a short-term egoic defensive truth in that you're experiencing it. Nobody's saying you're not, you're lying, but it's not the capital T truth. It's not the most vulnerable thing in the room. There's something behind it. That's why we call it a defense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes a useful question to ask a defense is, what would you need, defense or embarrassment in this case? What would you need to relax and let me see what's behind you? Because it needs something. Safety, love, connection. I'm not sure. So anyway, that's just a theoretical thing I wanted to share with the audience and say, because it's in the space, it's in my awareness field. So thank you for letting me have that teaching moment.
Yeah, no, I think that was very useful. And it's, yeah, what's coming up for me is definitely like being very, just seeing that like really, literally seeing that embarrassment, and which is akin to shame, it literally looks like a wall.
Yeah.
And that's what was going on just earlier.
Yeah.
When I was sitting there spiraling in my head.
What does it feel like?
And now that we've sort of talked about it a little bit, it's kind of gone away a little bit. I don't fucking care. Like, fuck that.
That's nice.
Like, Yeah, it's just like, fuck you, embarrassment. Because I have no room for shame in anybody else's life, you know?
What does the wall feel like when you connect with the wall?
It's kind of a crumbly mud, sort of a sludge, but it's kind of... But it's kind of dry and crumbly, so it's very unattractive. Like, I don't like looking like gross and just kind of.
Okay, I want to. If you're open to it, would you let yourself become that mud for a second?
Yeah,
and that crumbly, dry, whatever it is, just fully be that fucking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it may have feelings of its own, or words, or thoughts, but we're just gonna be it. You're doing really well. This is now something's really happening by you being this sludge. This is an energy that really needs you to connect with it. You're doing great. I have to answer someone at the door. Can you keep being with the sludge for a second?
Sure.
Okay. I'll keep staying with it. I'll be right with you.
Okay.
What's up? It's Rami. Just made a big transition. Yesterday, I was surrounded by birdsong and barefoot. I had just completed a really magical time doing an amazing play in a bucolic countryside / suburban Pennsylvania setting. And I packed up all my boxes and shipped them ahead of me to my next gig. I will meet them there in about 3.5 weeks. And I was left with my carry-on. Oh, David Strathairn helped me bring my boxes down. He was barefoot too. He's a cool dude. So I was left with just me, my carry-on, my shoes, and my yellow hat. And then I took the train to the middle of Midtown Manhattan, where I'll be staying for the next 10 days. Let's just say, different vibe. And also equally fun. Super fun. I'm staying in the middle of Manhattan at a buddy's house. And it's funny. When I was a teenager, I remember there was this moment where I could have sort of gone either way. I could have really leaned into being like a wilderness person or a city person. And I kind of leaned towards city. But, you know, they both absolutely exist in me. And I really just love both of those realities. You know, non-binary. Hey. Rami's rules.
Okay. Coming back at you. What's happening in there?
I mean, I got a little distracted. I had to,
of course,
listening to your whole conversation. That was, what had come up right before you stepped away was the shame was sort of saying, "Yeah, I've been protecting you because you, so that you don't take up too much space, or you're embarrassed about like, and like the embarrassment is showing up in all different little tiny places, like." Like I didn't like how I interacted with a person in my life. I'm being nonspecific for a little while, and it's better now. But I haven't really addressed how that was, and so I feel embarrassed about that. And so I'm kind of staying kind of quiet and small around that.
Right.
And I started rehearsals and I'm staying out of this place and there's this big, beautiful house. It's a gorgeous house. Lovely humans who are like, yeah, welcome. Just be here. But I'm still like, I'll just kind of come into the kitchen and make myself a little meal and then go back to my room and not take up any space. Like and even in rehearsal, I'm aware of like, I'm not going to talk all the time. You know, I shouldn't. And I'm also aware that none of them are being housed and that they're all driving a lot. And so I'm embarrassed about sharing that I have this nice place to stay. Like there's all these little embarrassments about what I have right now.
Yeah. Interesting.
And that's what came up when I started talking to the shitty wall.
That's cool.
It's keeping me, you know, silent and small.
Yep.
Because I should be embarrassed about all those things. So
do you remember the first time in your life you felt like you should be embarrassed for what you have?
Weird. Hold on, my microphone just started to pick up radio signals. That was bizarre. The mic cable, sometimes if it gets loose, it suddenly I hear radio.
Weird.
Don't ask me why. Fucking bizarre.
I won't.
You could ask me why, but I couldn't tell you. I don't think it was. For me, it actually starts in college. It doesn't. The context I grew up in, had the least of those around me.
Could there be shame about that?
Ooh, never thought about that. Maybe.
Because one thing I get for you psychically is that you're really on to, you're just right almost on exactly what causes this pattern. This shame-based diminishing of yourself is a turnoff.
Yeah.
It's like an apologetic energy.
Yeah.
That is the opposite of you and your power. And you and your power is what draws women to you.
That's very interesting. You just...
It's what draws women to all men, by the way.
What's interesting is that exact phrase, prior to this, like last 2 weeks or so, when I've started feeling this physical unwellness, I had a period of, I was saying, and I think it was true, wow, I really feel like I'm in my power right now. So like,
I remember,
I do know the difference. Like,
right. That's good.
And just that you said that was like, oh yeah, that's literally what I was feeling. I was feeling in my power. And that was a good space to be. And I know I can get back to that.
So what happened that shifted you out of that? Because we will learn something about what tends to happen that shifts you out of it. And then you can see that coming. Did something happen with a woman that felt rejecting?
No. I don't, it doesn't feel directly related to that. That feels like an offshoot of what this is.
Okay.
This is more core identity. And this is more like, you know, fear of white privilege. This is a lot more, this is more around that sort of, I think.
But what happened that triggered what this is?
I mean, I actually got less busy with demands, like work style things.
Uh-huh.
And everyone around me got more stressed and more demanded.
Okay.
And I feel I'm auditioning ideas now that I got embarrassed about being like, I don't have shit to do. And I'm just fucking watching TV while you are all busting your asses, you know? And so like when I did have work, like even working with you, I was really hungry for that because it felt validating. Like I was allowed to exist if I was earning a living.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So the shame came up because you're working a little less right now.
Yeah.
Got it. That's clear.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, yeah. That.
Yeah. Yeah. I love you.
Yeah. That's the truth.
Yeah. Cass always knows it's the truth because he gets teary.
I'm really grateful for that signal.
Which is very, very beautiful. Isn't that great?
It's remarkable. It's so clear when it happens.
Yeah. Let's just stay with it for 1 second here. We'll just feel how sad that makes you feel. Uselessness in the face of working less.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's happening now?
It's really embarrassing to be of leisure like that. It's not actually that fun because I don't have anything to do and I'm bored. And I watch TV. Yeah. And I hate it. I'm not interested in watching TV. It's not fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you available on the 10th and 11th?
I'm in rehearsals now, so I'm a little more busy. But even during the day right now, I'm still feeling like, what do I fucking do with myself before I go to rehearsal?
Well, you're going to work with me on those 2 days.
And there are some days that I am working with you. And there are some people.
If you're available,
days. Please
do them.
Okay. I think we talked, but I'll put
it. I know, but I remember you saying you couldn't do one of them at some time.
Yeah, there was like a crossover of times. Yeah.
Okay.
There are times when I'm busy and there's times when I'm not, but it just, yeah. I think I really.
I get you. Yeah.
Didn't understand just how deeply.
Yeah.
And it felt, and it's because it felt like I wasn't involved. And instead of like, you know, going to the gym all the time or doing something else, I just did nothing.
Yeah.
And then that felt shitty, really shitty.
Right.
But then
yes,
that pattern sets in and you just don't even do the things you could do. Yeah, fuck it. I was supposed to do shitty. I'll just sit here and feel shitty.
Yep.
Funny that I'm saying shitty because it was my anus talking. Yeah. Wow. I did not know how real that, how far down that went.
That's really good.
Thank you.
It's my pleasure. You're giving a lot of people a big gift here. This is now that feels really clear to me now.
Yeah.
And really real and really true and really vulnerable and honest. So many of us have that where it's like, all we want is to do less. This is not you now. This is, I'm speaking for other people who feel this way, you know? And then you do less and you're like, wait, my self-esteem is in the shitter now.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So it's sort of a fantasy that doing less would feel better.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. It's so true.
Mm-hmm.
So true.
Yeah.
I want to fucking, I want to do things.
Yeah.
And that's why, what the hell is the actor's name that I was quoting? Who plays God?
Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman. That's it. that phrase is playing over and over in my head and I can't stop hearing it.
That's really great.
Get busy living.
Get busy living or get busy dying.
Get busy dying.
Do the voice.
Get busy living or get busy dying.
I love it. I love it. There's another line in that movie that I always love.
How can you be so obtuse?
His name is Dumbass. That's Dumas. No, that's my other favorite line.
That's great.
Is that the line?
Hey, listen. No, I forget what it is. This was really great work, and you really let me take you further into it, and you really went there, and I really fucking applaud you for it.
Thank you.
A+ healing student.
And that was, there was definitely some resistance there and some strong, like, I don't fuck want to do this fucking anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good one to notice when it comes up because we all have that. We all have some version of that, right?
Yeah. For real. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you have I'm going to say this is like on the other side of things, and I'm saying this for the listener. This is a ballsy kind of Katie Rubin-y kind of thing to say, very Enneagram 8, what I'm about to say. If you have the kind of therapist or healer who's afraid to challenge you when your resistance comes up, they are really doing you a disservice. Now, you could argue against what I just said by saying, yeah, but you let people's resistance come up, and then when they're ready, they break open. That's sometimes true. If you have someone who's weird like me and like relentlessly digging for what's behind and what's behind and what's behind, but that's 0.00001% of the population. We are freaks of nature. Most people need help nudging past their resistance.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to get a little sneaky.
Yeah.
Or a little strong. You got to do what needs doing to help people through that in a loving but clear way. Otherwise, for the listener, if your therapist is too nice and you're wondering why nothing's changing, it's because your therapist is too nice. And that, my friends, is codependent of her or him or them.
Yeah.
Because your therapist is being nice out of some tiptoey, don't want to push you to, you know, no.
Yeah.
And I have passion about this because it keeps a lot of people stuck.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
Tell me.
I'm musing on the framing of what happened earlier, which was that I was embarrassed about taking up space. And that's actually the very thing that I was using to stop me was the very thing that was at the core of what was happening, of what was needing to be addressed.
It always is.
But I was like, oh, I don't want to take up space. Oh, that's the fucking problem right now. Is you're embarrassed about taking up space and you have shame about it. And that's what I'm doing. I'm taking up space without being a productive member of society.
No, it's more like you were taking up space and shining and living in your power. And then you stopped taking up space and shining because of reasons. And then that diminished your self-esteem. And now we're giving you permission again to take up more space.
Yeah. Step in again.
Yeah.
Because you know why? Get busy living or get busy dying.
Thank you. Good night.
What are you doing in the Southwest, Katie? Visiting family? Total shirt.
Yeah.
Screech.
No, we're good. That feels complete now, so we can shift.
Great.
My dad lives here.
Yes.
And for a few weeks, I've been trying to find wedge in between staging jobs and healing class. And I've been trying to get a trip in out here for a couple months to just be with him post the loss of his wife.
Yeah.
And it's good for me. The energy out here is really, really good for me. And I always get rejuvenated, by the, it's a very spacious spiritual energy here. California is, it's where I want to live. And it's so, I always get caught in the, there's a kind of spiritual commercialism. There's like a money and beauty and spirituality all in one place thing that I enjoy. And I think I'm supposed to be living into, but it's not as pure and clean as just spirit energy, pure.
Yeah.
And that's what you get in the Southwest. It's just like God, period. Nobody's like, look at my big fancy house with my nice couches in it. It doesn't matter. They are, but it's cleaner here. It's cleaner. So there's something very replenishing for me about coming. So I've been looking for a way. And I want to say one thing. I'm going to take up a little space and celebrate a win.
Please do.
Thanks. Which is, you've heard me complaining about, I've really been hitting bottom with this one class I was teaching at Stanford.
Yeah.
And also hitting bottom with teaching this other class at ACT. And really wrestling with my egoic mental attachment to who, what it means about me to teach those.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I got raised in an academic family of intellectual Jews. And it's like, you teaching at Stanford is like the pinnacle of what you could do.
Right.
So I couldn't possibly not teach at Stanford. Right.
Right.
And it's this noble thing. It's not my self-centered acting, fun time party shit judgment. It's noble, better, superior, smart, helping people. Can't leave that. Because you see, it's noble and good and intelligent. So it was like, oh, I started to like sit with all that and go, well, I'm not going to stay for those reasons. And then sitting with that for a few weeks and realizing I don't like teaching this content to this population.
Yeah.
I would be happy to go back to Stanford and teach, but it needs to be different content or different population because I don't like doing that.
Yeah.
But like, oh man, the layers of wrestling with, but the money is good, but it's, I get so much approval from people when I say I teach at Stanford. It's so high-minded of me, Sag rising. Like here's a fun one where people can get caught and it seem like not judgment, but it is. My whole Gene Key's purpose, like the purpose, my whole life purpose is the archetype of teacher. That's like the whole thing I'm supposed to reach. And I reached it and I wanted to quit. What do you do with that?
But it's my gene key.
Right. And all I could do is come back to it, my inner truth, my inner experience, strategy and authority, really. Months and months of feeling this way and finally going, okay, I think I just feel this way. How about we just trust it? And then, so I the class ended. I said, boom, explosion. Look at that. And then I told them I'm not available for the next few quarters. And then my other class ended at ACT and I told them I'm not available for the summer because I am going to come. I actually am not available. I'm going to come see my dad a lot. And I wasn't able to come see my dad, which is another value I have, like a real value in my heart.
Yeah.
This man, I want to hang out with him. And I can't if I'm bound to two classes because I can't get substitutes that I don't want to be teaching. So it was like, I feel like I'm just like, I'm celebrating the win of, I chose for me, despite all the mental ideas and the ego attachments and the praise and the approval, I chose for me.
Right. Well, and every single one of those has obligation attached to it rather than choice.
God, yes, exactly.
You know, obligation to your people, to your upbringing, obligation to your... to even to your fucking gene key. Like you have an obligation to your fucking human design. It says it right here. I have to do it. So
that's it. That's it.
That's a fucked up trap. Like, oh good. I've been given my marching orders. Thank God. But they're also fuck you marching orders. I don't want to have to do it. But also It doesn't mean that that's not true. It's just not this one.
That's it. That's it. People, I feel like people get to a certain place. We can get to, like, if you succeed in your life to a certain level of like what you were aiming for, and then you realize there's an even finer tuning of the knob of the radio of you, there can be a way where we go, well, I can't like have more of what I want. Like, what an arrogant asshole that I don't want to teach this to these people at Stanford. I want to teach that to those people. Like, who the fuck do I think I am? And the answer is someone who wants fulfillment and satisfaction in my life and someone who deserves it because I'm alive,
yeah,
just like everyone else deserves it.
Yeah.
But that fine tuning, are we willing, would we each today hearing these words be willing to step more and more and more into more of what we actually require and desire for fulfillment, success, peace, surprise, whatever your thing is?
Yeah.
I'm willing. Let's go.
Hell yeah, y'all.
That's what I say.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's...
It's challenging. I'll wrap up. We can wrap up with this. I had a client today, privacy, of course, shall remain nameless, the theme was pretty much this same topic of, wait a minute, you mean I have this really good life and I'm miserable and I'm allowed to choose more for myself? Like, she's in a situation of like, maybe I gotta leave a long-term thing I've been in for more.
Yeah.
But the idea of the comfort, of the familiarity, of the known.
Yeah. No, Jesus, right?
And how often staying with the comfort of the familiarity of the known keeps us from the vast joy and liberation of the unknown.
Yeah. Before we wrap up, I was talking to Rami today, who is on their way to Europe, speaking
right.
of the unknown and the known.
Indeed.
Going to places they've never been. We'll probably get some Rami's rules out of that, I imagine.
Can't wait.
But they were telling me that I wanted to give a shout out to several new listeners. I don't know their names, but you know who you are. People who have started listening to us more recently and are...
Hi, new listeners.
Are new and happy. Apparently, one of them heard us saying, like, is anyone listening? And they said they were talking to Rami. They're like, I am.
Aww.
New listeners. I can say probably some of the people from their recent production of Hurricane Diane are our new listeners. So you know who you are. Hello. Send us an email. Introduce yourself. Tell us, hey, I'm a new listener and I like your show.
And
ask us a question.
And ask, please send us questions to what you want to know. Ask the Akashic Records or consciousness itself as channeled through this body mind.
Yeah.
What do you want to know about anything? Your personal life, the big picture of reality, time and space, God consciousness. Should I buy this soap or that soap? Anything at all, please send an email with questions to this email.
And that email is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That is allanswerspod. Get busy living or get busy dying.
Oh, that should be our email address.
Get busy living or get busy dying at gmail.com. That's a lot. That's a lot of words. Oh, that's funny. Thank you, Katie. I love you. Thank you for muscling through my resistant, sludgy mud walls.
I love you too. My pleasure.
And shit, you're out of town, so we're not hanging out anytime soon. But we have actually seen each other in human form a lot recently. But it's only because we're working together.
It's been nice.
But it is.
Well,
nice.
We're gonna hang soon. There'll be a hang. I'll be back on like the sixth or seventh.
Okay. Well.
Love you.
Have a wonderful time with whatever you're doing, and do your work.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. What are you asking for? All of the answers. Say what? All of the answers.
Yeah. All the answers. Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you.
Squeezle the dog. Squeeze of the dog. Squeeze of the dog.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com. All in all, you're just another break in the wall.